Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today at all campuses. Come on, you can do better than that. I said give it up for Jesus. So glad you're here today at one of our locations. You can be seated. If you stood up, it means you love Jesus. If you didn't, shame on you. My gosh. We're talking about relationships. A lot of people are DMing me on Instagram. I live on Instagram, by the way. If you want to reach me as a pastor, that's how you do it, on Instagram. In fact, it's just my whole life. I pretty much Instagram my whole life. But how many of y'all are on Instagram? Raise your hand. Let's see how many old people are here. How many of y'all are on Facebook? Raise your hand if you're on Facebook. So we actually have been talking a lot about relationships and seeing a lot of results. In fact, today I Instagrammed where last night, the sermon I preached, I was talking about that girls love flowers, or as my wife calls them, flowies. And so guys are like going home, getting flowers, they're DMing it, they're posting about it, women are happy. So just for the dumb guys in here, today's the day where you go to 7-Eleven and you buy a cigarette-smelling rose. Come on, somebody. So, by the way, also one other thing. Today is 5-year celebration and anniversary of the campus, our campus, Ferguson campus. So give it up for Ferguson Forsyth campus. 5 years today. Pastor Nia texted me and said, don't forget it. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about relationships and how the enemy comes in and tries to sabotage it. The enemy comes, the Bible says, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Every campus, shout that. What's he come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. So if you see stealing, you see killing, you see destroying, you know that's the devil, the enemy. Some people tell me, you know, I don't believe in the devil. The devil told you that. I saw a woman the other day on the front row, and she said, like, amen. And I'm like, why are you so passionate about that? She said, I know the devil's real. I was married to his brother for 18 years. I know the devil is real. So the enemy comes in, and so today we're going to talk a little bit about how to kind of fireproof your marriage, fireproof your relationships. And if you're not married, just thank God today. You know. But if you're not married, what you want to do is you start investigating how it is that this guy or gal fits into the standard, God's standard, because what God has joined together, no man can pull asunder. Facts is 50% of all marriages, you've heard me say this the last couple weeks, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. And I always make my joke where, you know, all divorce is caused by marriage, but that's just a joke. But at church, the stats are way less. And people that use biblical principles who aren't even Christians, but they treat each other nice, they still open up the door. They don't allow the kids to destroy the marriage, or they don't get too busy for each other. Those people, their divorce rates go way, way down. Can I get an amen on that? So today, I want to put up some scriptures for you, and the first one that we're going to go to today is going to be in Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. Here's the good news. If you got kids and they're acting a fool right now, they're working on their testimony. They're going to come back. But training up the child, I think, is where I want to jump off on for a moment, because we were all raised with a mom and a dad, or maybe you're a single parent at some point in your life, but the way you saw life modeled was through these two people. And when you're little, you just think your parents are unreal. In fact, my little grandson right now, he just thinks I'm Jesus. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's just, everything I do, he thinks is wonderful. He's my favorite person in the world. He just loves me. And my friend who's got a grandson that's 13, he goes, enjoy this. I said, why? He said, you're going to be Jesus for 4 years, and then they're going to get busy, and you're not Jesus anymore. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? He said, I don't know. I'm just warning you. Enjoy this moment. So when you're little, you think your parents are amazing, and you watch them and how mom and dad did arguments, how they lived their lives. And so everything you think and the person that you are really has been shaped by these people. Your political opinions, your thoughts about a lot of stuff is based upon these people. And that works out great if it was a godly home and they were taught in godly scripture and they were in groups like at our church. And that's why I'm always telling you in groups. Because you get in groups, there's people that have the answer to the problem that you're going through right now, whether it's alcohol abuse or verbal abuse, just abuse that's just abnormal use. And somebody's hurt, so they hurt. My dad responded this way. For instance, take you down the trail with my dad. My dad is what they called a macho man. He had the, if you're older, you remember Magnum P.I., so he had the Magnum P.I. mustache. He would always be like, if there was a bad driver, you know, we couldn't even see him in the car, and he'd be like, I can't believe that woman almost killed us. And I was like, how do you know he's a woman? I can just tell by the way she drives. And then we'd pull up beside it, and it was a guy, and he wouldn't say anything. You didn't say anything because you wanted to keep all your front teeth, right? My dad was a guy that when I would help my mom around the house, I would like vacuum and do stuff. He didn't think that was good. He would come up to me and say, someday you're going to make somebody a great wife. Okay, this is the type of guy he was. He was kind of trying to put me down for trying to help my mom. Of course, my mom loved it. Come on, all the women say amen to that. So I'm here to tell you that I was just kind of predisposed and my personality was different. Yours is different than your dad. Yours is different than your mom. So not saying that they were bad or they were good. There might have been some good parts. I'm sure there was. And there were some bad parts. But you, the Bible says, you have to work out your own salvation. And then train up a child the way they should go. You were trained, and sometimes you didn't know you were trained. So here's what I thought in my first marriage. Notice I said my first marriage. People are wondering, how many times you've been married? That's none of your business. No. 2 times. And this is the last time, because Nicole said, till death did we part. And I slid the ring on her finger, and when I said, I do, she said, you will do everything I tell you to do. I always tell people, you know, the man's supposed to be the head of the house. And Nicole's like, that's right, but I'm the neck. Get it? The neck turns the head. Come on, comedy doesn't get any better than this. It's early in the morning. All right. So the Bible has a lot to say about training. So this is, again, why church is so important, because your kids are being taught in classrooms right now in age-appropriate teachings, things that are going to make them better humans later. So when you learn and you train your kids, you can fully expect that your kids are going to do this. Here's what I pray for my kids. You're going to marry in the will of God. You're going to date in the will of God. And my family, what God has joined together, no man is put asunder. When my daughter-in-law... When we married her, and I say we married her, because the first interaction they had, I sent her a video. She played it at their wedding. My son was dating somebody else, and they went on a group function. And I sent Morgan a video that said, hey, this is PD. No, you don't know me, but consider this your first date with my son, and I'm extending his hand in marriage to you. She didn't respond for 3 days. How do you respond to that? But she played it at the wedding, and now we all one big family. Can I get an amen in this deal? People look at me like, do you believe in prearranged marriage? Yeah, as long as I'm arranging it. Come on, somebody. I got to make sure if I'm going to live with this person, we're all together. We're a collector's set. So again, train up your children the way they should go. Raise your hand today at all campuses if you think, man, I can use some more teaching on how to relate to people. Okay? Should it be everybody? And if you didn't raise your hand, then your soulmate is next to you going, what a fool. I'm going to let you try that one more time. Raise your hand if there's some things you can learn about getting along with people. Genesis 2:18, it says, and the Lord God said, this is so important. It's so funny too. It's not good that a man should live alone. He needs a helpmate. In other words, God was like, you know what? I made a man. He's the first thing I made. First of all, I think I can do better. Let me do one more shot. Let me try it. One more time. And then he made a wombed man. That's what a woman is. A womb man. And she can produce. In fact, nobody in here at any of our campuses today is alive except you came out of the womb of a woman. In fact, that's why they like you to keep your room clean, because you needed to keep your womb clean. Come on, somebody. Go with me. That's right. So it's just, you got this tie, the umbilical cord to the mom. It's there. But the enemy came in. What's the first thing he did in the garden? He came in and he tried to deceive the relationship. It's Adam and Eve, and they're loving themselves, each other. There's no electric bill. There's no tax bill. There's no Fox News. There's no CNN news. There is nothing. There's just fruit hanging everywhere, and it's awesome. And there's no curse, because whatever they ate in the garden, they didn't gain weight. So they both had these incredible six-pack bodies, and they're buck naked, and there's no kids. Come on, somebody. There was no Netflix. They didn't need porn. They didn't need anything that people get distracted with today, because they had it going on. You say, well, what happened? The devil came in. And what's he come to do? We started at class at the beginning. He comes to steal. Come on, one more time. I can hear you at every campus. What does he come to do? So he comes to say, you know, there's some stuff that'd be better. And she eats it. She gives it to her husband. He eats it. And then we have the fall. But then we have the second Adam, theologically, Adam. The second Adam is Adam. Represents Jesus. And Jesus comes back, and he makes right everything the devil did. And so now we have the power to walk in great freedom and enjoy Jesus and enjoy each other and have a happy life. But the enemy's always trying to get in there to keep us in an emotional uproar to where we think there's something else out there. Somewhere out there. If you're old, you know this. Beneath the... The enemy is trying to tell you somebody's better, something can be better. So what I watch is I watch the enemy come in, and he says, you know what? Your husband, he doesn't love you. He didn't take care of you. He doesn't tell you you're pretty anymore. And by the way, you have to do that. You have to tell women 10,000 times a day. Hang on a minute. I'm distracted right now, man. I just looked at you, and it threw me off for a minute because you're fire, girl. I'm like, no, really, look me in the eyes for 1 minute. Look at your eyes. Golly. Those eyelashes, it's like, my gosh. You can't even get too close to me because it's, oh, come on, it's Latisse, just a little Latisse. And your hair. Now, you know as a guy, those eyelashes, when you get ready to go to bed, boom, boom, hair's coming out. Girdle's coming off. Come on, somebody. She's in her sweatpants with Nutella all over. Somebody ought to help me right now. But if you see that you saw that, you can't unsee that. But now when she goes to work and she looks good, the guys are like, ooh, girl, look at that. She's getting filled up. She's getting affirmed. She's getting esteemed. But when you come home, you don't even say anything. Except, where's my hot pocket? Can I get a beer and a hot pocket? Don't talk to me. I'll be in my recliner right now watching football or playing games, okay? I'm not against you playing games, but a woman wants a man that's going to read some books or listen to some audio, go to church, make the family better, achieve something greater in their life. If you're a deadbeat dad, get off the couch, get your butt to work and move. And guys, I'm not abusing guys. I'm proud of guys. Our guys got it together. I'm coming after the ladies in just a minute, guys. Just wait one thing. So women need to feel, one of their biggest things that they need to feel, is they need to feel secure. Not just financially secure. Because that, if you marry, some people marry for love, some people marry for money. Especially in Palm Beach. Just here to tell you. It's like, I'm looking for a sugar daddy. Please send a picture of the boat and the motor. Okay. I see 70-year-old guys with 24-year-old girls, and I wonder, does she really love them? I don't know. It's getting quiet in here. It's really real. This stuff is real, okay? I'm preaching to rich people and poor people. You got to understand right now. But then you'll find some guy that, like, he's got some beautiful girl. They got married, and they married for love. And their car goes like, rawr, rawr. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, thank God. So when you do marry somebody, it needs to be for love, not for the love of money, for better or worse, till death do we part. But women need security. I'm not saying financial security, that'd be a plus. But what they really need to know is that you are going to be loving them forever. So I tell my family all the time, we're a collector's set. Today, I sent a big old text to them, how much I love them. Sent a video of one of our special songs on the way to church. We're in different states right now. Everybody's in different spaces and places, but they know, hey, dad loves us. Dad wants to be with us. And I tell them, hey, you can't break up. You guys even know that. Because I've drilled them to say, if you leave, I'm going with you. If Nicole leaves, you won't see me again until I go get her and talk her into coming back. Because I love her, and I need everybody to know. I love her. I want to be with her. I want to be with her kids. And this is what women want. And all the women should say amen if you agree. Some of you are like, I don't want him anymore. I don't want security with him. No, no, no. We're going to make him better again. Women want, everybody, what do women want? They want security. You know what men want? I know what you're thinking. Yeah, they do. You're absolutely right. You guys got dirty minds, but you're right. I mean, it's just a fact. But it was biblical. God put it in man. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And that's the part of the Bible the guys are like, I'm on that. I'm a doer of the word, not just hearers only. Okay, so I get it. But something else that they want and need is they need to be affirmed. Avery, climb up on the stage for me real quick, if you will. So Avery here. Avery is a beautiful friend. He's been with me forever. He's got his beautiful wife, Courtney. They were married for how long?
9 years.
Got divorced. Then he realized he had made a bad mistake, begged her to come back. She got saved at our church, forgave him, and they got back together how long ago?
11 years ago.
And a bigger ring. Come on, somebody. So Avery's the guy. Come on, every campus had to get it up for Avery. Avery! But you know, Avery's one of those guys, when I was speaking a minute ago, when I said, somebody marry for love, some people marry for money, and then there's guys that, you know, they can just get it done, and you know, if the car is, rah, 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 and he patted her on the leg, and I could tell he was like, I'm that guy. Because he's one of those guys that, like, if you're ever on Survivor, you would want him. Because he can take a pair of pliers and some duct tape and make a boat. See, sometimes when you came from being broke and nobody would fix the toilet, you didn't call the plumber, you had to figure out how to do that. How many guys like that I got in the building, okay? So this is a good man. Now, he was young, and he made some mistakes.
A lot.
What about you? You ever made some mistakes? Come on, I wish I could get both. Hold me up. He's also strong. Get that. That's a fat boy up on this guy right now, okay? So what he did was he humbled himself in the sight of God. He got in church, bettered himself, educated, did better, got Courtney back, and their life is just grand today. But what my point for bringing him up is this. What he really needed, and Courtney gives him, is she gives him a lot of affirmation. Look at you fix that. Look at you do that. Look at you look, because the devil's told him, because we were very close, because I have motorcycles and he loves motorcycles and I don't know how to fix them. And he does. So I got to keep him just because I can't afford a mechanic. Come on, somebody, we're buds, all right? And so I'll call him up, he talked to me. And one of the things he told me that he struggled with is where he lived, there was no people that looked like him. And because he was kind of black, but kind of white, he never felt like he fit in. But he came to this church, and we begin to tell him who he is, who God called him to be, and that he's the perfect complexion. And I wish to God I had his complexion. I spray tan on my head, on my arms. Come on, somebody. I think tan fat's better than white fat. And if you don't think so, you're wrong. But he needed to be affirmed by a father. And I was a spiritual father to him. I'm so proud of him. So proud of what he's done with his life. So proud of how they raised Kobe. Come here. Kobe's part of the reason why. And Kobe started coming to church, and how old was Kobe?
10 years old.
He was 10 years old. Kobe was like this big. And Kobe kept asking his mom, Mom, will you go to church with me and Dad? She said, I don't want to go to church with you and your dad. He said, please, Mom, please. He was so cute. I don't know what happened to him, but he used to be cute. And he started coming to church. She started coming to church. And then they got back together. And the whole family unit got back together. And then the quote-unquote what the enemy would call a mistake that he made, this beautiful little daughter with this other woman, she started bringing them to church. And then the whole family started coming to church together. And then the little baby ends up being a rodeo star. She's like a champion in a nation. Bull riding. Or not bull riding. What do you call it?
Barrel racing.
Barrel racing. Bull shooting is what I do. Barrel racing is what she does. And so their whole life turned into a collector's set because they put God in the middle of it. And I'm here to tell you today, no matter where you're at, you put Jesus in the middle of it, everything will change. By the way, he went to college on a basketball scholarship. He's a baller. Come on, somebody, give it up one more time for this incredible family. Come on, every campus, give it up for Jesus today. God can fix everything that's wrong in your life. Matthew 7, I want to read this in the Message Bible. It says, here's a simple rule of thumb, a guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Grab the initiative and do it. How do you want people to treat you? Well, I wish my wife would. You do that. Wish my husband would. Well, I will, and I'll do it for a couple days, but if they don't, I'll stop. You just got to keep doing what's right because it's right. Grab the initiative. Avery started going to church, kept going. And in time, that's why the Bible said, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap in due time. In time, it'll work out. I look at Sherry. Come here, Sherry. I'm just picking people out of the crowd. Sherry Link, Gary, bring Gary up while he's got his shoes on. Come on, give it up for Gary and Sherry. I'm just picking people out of the crowd today. A lot of people are scared today. Sherry's on her way up. Oh, Sherry. Okay, so Sherry used to come to church all the time, to my daddy's church. And how long ago was that, Sherry? 1983, she's coming to church all the time. Guess who's not coming to church? This guy, because he was a heathen. He stayed at home. He doesn't go to church. He ain't going to church. He doesn't think about church. He's just not going to church. But Sherry kept going to church. And she kept going to church on my dad's church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Tuesday night. And this isn't church like we're 30 minutes and you're out kind of thing. My dad's services would last 3 hours. Three. Can you imagine that? He didn't join until I took over. Come on, somebody. No, just kidding. But Sherry kept inviting him and loving on him and really not pushing him at all. She just started taking her own good behavior home and kept loving. And the next thing you know, guess who starts kind of coming around to functions? I'm not going to church, but I'll go to function. And so he'd go to like little parties, and my dad would have parties at his house. In fact, one time, one of the first parties he went and everybody had to take their shoes off because it was kind of, I don't know what's going on, but they had to take the shoes off. And so when I left, I took a pair of shoes. I thought they were mine. I don't even know the dude. And I stole his shoes and he had to go home barefoot. Come on, somebody. But he still kept coming to functions. And then the next thing you know, I'd see him at Easter. I'd see him at Christmas. And the next thing you know, now, years and years later, the past, I don't even know how long it's been now, but it's been forever. Like all of a sudden they start having kids and Ryan's here and they're raising the boys here and the dad's coming to church and now they got grandkids coming to church. And every Sunday, whether I'm in the building or not in the building, I can tell you right now that Gary and Sherry are going to sit in that midsection on the right side. I could be in Florida and say, I see you right there because, come on somebody, it's not too late for your husband or wife to come to Jesus. Come on, give it up for Gary and Sherry. I'm picking people out of a crowd here today. It's been a long time. 30 years, Pastor David. How long does it take to graduate? You don't. You keep coming to church. You keep hearing the word. It keeps changing the way you think and how you respond. And eventually, you'll put on good behavior. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's not my notes. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So if you want to walk in love, love, it says, is the fruit of the Spirit is love. Then all those others flow out of that. So when you start giving your life to God and you start walking in love, you'll start enjoying the journey more. You'll start enjoying each other better. And you'll start going, wait a minute, I'm going to put Jesus in the center of my life. And then how you would ask that question. Remember the old bracelet that said WWJD? Remember that bracelet? It said, that didn't stand for what would Joel do? It stands for what would Jesus do? So when we represent Jesus and we put Jesus in the middle of our life, our story goes so much better because we'll start being nice to each other. Okay, raise your hand at all campuses if it makes sense to you. Raise your hand, okay? Don't have it all figured out. Don't know everything, but these are things that I've done that help. Married for 8 years, got divorced because I was trying to model the behavior of my dad. Didn't work out well. She's gone. Got divorced. But man, it's painful. Then I met Nicole. When I saw her, I fell in love with her. It was physical attraction. I didn't fall in love with her brain. I didn't fall in love with her. I fell in love with those long legs coming up a short skirt, standing there with her girlfriend. And I thought, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. I don't want to be right if it means living without you. I don't want to be right if it means sleeping alone. And I walked up to her and started talking to her. She blew me off. And then eventually I said, hey, I lost my number. Can I have yours? She said, do you think that works? I said, I don't know. We're talking now. And then she walked away and she's walking away. And I said, hey, are those space pants? She said, why? I said, your butt looks out of this world in those pants right now. Laugh all you want, but 26 years later, I'm her baby's daddy. Come on, somebody, right now. I'm just here to tell you, you be you. I expect a better hand clap than that. You guys are laughing your butts off. This isn't a comedy club. It's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, and you're not drunk, and I'm funny. I'm funnier than the guy at the funny bone. It helps to laugh about it, right? So, of course, I did get for those people. I was attracted to her brain, thank God. But you gotta, it's gotta be attraction there. There has to be attraction there. These people are like, no, there's no attraction between us. We haven't had any sparks in a long time. We're gonna put the spark back in your marriage. Okay, so let's talk about how the spark goes away, okay? Spark goes away, we talked about it a little bit last weekend in Florida and here. That kids, you love kids, they're great. But kids get up in the middle of your bed and they figure out how to get in the middle of your bed. When Ashley was little, I remember one night her mom had her little like Disney pajamas on and she had a lisp and she's always getting our bed. And then her mom came in and she said, Dad, does she have to sleep in our bed? Of course, that crushes Nicole because I'm her favorite because I don't tell her no, and I've never told her no. I've prided myself in saying no. I just don't say no. A lot of times I go, nah, and it turns into a yeah. I'm her favorite person. I don't want to throw that off. But that little sucker gets in the middle of the marriage, and you got to go, hey, we're going to take time away, and we're going to have a date night. If you forgot what that is, that means you leave your phone at home. It means you leave your phone on silent mode in the car. It means you at least leave your phone with the ringer off upside down so you're not really paying attention. But you're paying attention to each other. And if you're not on the phone, scrolling, and we all do this. I'm talking to me right now. When I die, it's going to be doing this. I'll be dead 3 days later, my TikTok. How's this TikTok still going? Okay. But now we're forced, come on now, go with me. You're forced to have conversation. So when you start talking to her and you start asking questions, here's what women also like. They love for you to say, I did this morning on the phone with Nicole. How was your mastermind last night? And blah, 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 blah. I just set the phone down because I didn't want to say, this is too much information. I'm getting ready, and she said, and then I would go, you don't say. Women have words. It's a fact. How many of y'all have heard that women have twice as many words as a man? Raise your hand. This is the scientific fact. I said that the one time in a sermon, and the lady said, we have to do that because we have to say it twice as much to get the man to pay attention. Here we said the first time. That's why we say it. I'm like, hey. Well, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Because as you do get married, and you're married for a while, you have what I call selective hearing. Okay? So women have to be heard. Now, you knew this when you were dating, because when you went out on a date, she was telling you all about stuff, and you're listening, and you're thinking, and you're in a response, and you're really into it, and now her love tank is full. Now she's like, oh, yes. Okay? But now there's none of that because you're like, can you give me the short story? That's not a good answer. So you have to have communication, especially as you've been married for a long time. In 26 years, 30, some of you married, raise your hand at every campus. You've been married over 30 years. Raise your hand. So I'm pretty sure at over 30 years, you know all their jokes. You can finish the jokes. You know the story. So when you go out, you're like, what do we talk about? How was your day? I was with you the whole time. Okay. It gets tough, but you got to come up with conversations. You got to come up with conversations. You got to talk because they need to talk and you need to listen. And so when we listen, and I got to close. I got a minute, 13 seconds. I got to go preach to our city if you want to hear it. And then I'll come back here and preach again if you want to hear it. And I'll go back to our city, preach again if you want to hear it. There's obviously it's different. Every service is different because I pick different people out of the crowd. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I give away money. I don't know if you've ever been there where I've given away $10,000 at a service. That's obviously one you missed because I've never done that. So I'm just trying to get you. Okay. While you're doing life, You got to remember that the enemy is trying to get you guys to go away. Here's what the devil lies and says. He says, this person doesn't have everything you need. So then you switch to this person, and this person was only missing two things that you wanted. And now this person is missing like seven things that you got to have. And so it's always better if you guys can work it out. Because this person looks better on paper, looks better in theory, but if you get with that person, here's what I know about people. Let's put up the three C's. What I know about people is everybody's got a problem, and everybody has a past, and everybody has baggage. Here's some things. You can take your phone out if you want, take a picture of it. Three C's for a lasting marriage, or just, you know, these are things you're looking for while you're dating somebody. Commitment. Be committed. Be committed. Let's do it. Be committed. Be committed. If you're not committed, you might need to be committed. Because being non-committal makes that woman feel insecure. I might stay, I might go. Should I stay or should I go now? No. We are made a decision. What God has joined together, we are committed. Okay, and you can expound on those for hours. Then communication, we talked about that a little bit, but here's something I always say when I'm preaching to preachers and talking to communicators. Here's the bad part about communication, thinking that it actually happened. I hate listening to preachers like, listen to my series on marriage, and they talk about everything about marriage. My pet peeve is, we're talking about marriage, we're talking about marriage. If we're talking about love, we're talking about love. If we're talking about money, we're talking about money. I stay on my path, right? So communication, sometimes you'll think you committed, you communicated to him or her. They didn't hear, one, your heart, and then two, they didn't really hear what you had to say. Because sometimes I'm guilty of this. I got to talk really fast. Sometimes I listen, but I don't really listen because I'm formulating the attack that I feel that I'm going to have to throw back at you because I'm a defense attorney and I've got a lot of insecurities. And after all, I got to let you know how great I am and how lucky you are, which only makes the person just hate you. So here's what I've learned, guys, as I close. This is my third closing, so this really happened in this time. If you can ever just listen to anybody, Micah, come here real quick. One more person out of the crowd. Micah worked somewhere else where the guy was kind of a rough leader. So he wasn't sure he wanted to be back in ministry. And immediately I would come to him, even to meeting, because he's at the top tier of this organization, him and like a few guys. And I'll come in on a Monday sometimes and go, guys, I flew, you know, this week I was all over the country. Had all kinds of problems, and then I spoke here just in the nick of time last night. Then I'll speak seven or eight times today, deal with all kinds of other stuff that goes on, and then tomorrow we have our meeting. It's not always this way, but sometimes I'll come in and say, hey, just so you guys know, if I seem like I'm aggravated, I'm not aggravated to you. My sleep app, this thing right here, tells me exactly my oxygen level, my heartbeats, how many minutes I slept last night, how good I slept last night, how many times I peed last night. It tells you everything this ring tells you. I sent him this morning, then I showed him, hey, guys, I slept for 8 hours last night because the night before I slept for 4 hours, right? So I tell them that, and he goes, I can't believe this, that you're not just coming in yelling. You're just going, hey, if I say anything like makes you guys feel diminished or bad, tell me. Yeah. And he's like, this freaks me out. Yeah. Because what I want is a leadership culture where people don't go, I'll be glad when he goes. He's a tool. Yeah. He's no fun to be with. I want him to go, where's he at? I smell him. I want to see him. Where's he at? Come on, somebody. And that's what you want. When you come home, you don't want the dog going, and the kids going, oh, God. Come on, raise your hand if this makes sense. So if you'll communicate and say, Nicole, I'm sorry. First time ever doing this. I've never been a dad before. I've never been a pastor before. It's touching my heart right now because I do this all the time. I do it to them, right? I've called to him. He's only worked, I don't say for me, but with me for like a year. And I've called and said, Mike, my behavior was bad today. Will you forgive me? Dude, I did not have a problem. But I want people to know that I heard them, and I want them to know if I heard them. Because nobody can hurt you like people that, like my words weigh 10 million pounds to people. Yeah. If I walk past you, by the way, please hear this. People pull on me all the time and I love it. I love people, right? They pull on me. And sometimes my mind's memorizing. I'm 4 minutes late right now for a sermon, which means my driver's going to have to really hit it. I'm going to keep my mic on. So when the cop pulls us over, they go, oh my God, I knew it was you. Go. I don't want to go to hell. I go, okay, you probably won't. Don't do it again if you see this car. look the other way. So I'll go, my words weigh a lot. So I might walk past you and not see you at a campus. It's not that I don't see you. Look, he said hi to everybody and he waved to everybody and he missed me. I might have missed you. My brain went somewhere else. Would you forgive me? If I had time, I would want to hug everybody, kiss everybody, be with everybody, love everybody. I love you and I am committed to you. And I want to make sure that you comprehend what I'm saying to you right now. If I ever see you in a hall or somewhere, or somebody's like, man, I've been coming here. I saw somebody a while ago. I'm like, how you doing? Well, you've been coming a while ago. We've been here 9 years. This just happened on the way to stage. 9 years. And I looked at my little cup and I said, guys, I'm only this far down. Okay, give me a minute. I'm going to know you after a while. Come on, somebody. Some of you are looking, what's in there? It's tea, actually. No, I've wasted some. But here's my prayer for you today. At every campus. Is that you support that person that you're with. Listen to them. Brag on them. He needs to hear, what a boy. For me, yeah, guys have to have it. And the reciprocal of that is, Nicole, can't believe you got invited to Miss America. They put her on the board of Miss America. She rewrote all the bylaws of Miss America. It's the first time in 100 years they took her backstage, let the cameras be at Miss America. She's pastoring all the candidates of Miss America. She's putting Christian articles in the Miss America magazine, going into millions of schools in America. And I'm going, what a girl! How did I get to that? Look at your brain. I thought you were just legs, but look at you go. She needs to hear that from me. I want to pray for you today. Every head bowed, every eye closed at every campus, wherever you're at, wherever you're seated, Weldon, Ferguson, Florida. God, I ask you today with the Holy Spirit to go in and heal marriages where people have had some infidelity. There's been some things happen and they thought they could never forgive. But God, I believe in this sermon and next week, we're going to forgive. And God, help us to move on with tranquility and love, and people that are single, they'll understand. Now they're more armed, they're more educated to say, here's what I'm looking for in that other person. And God, whatever we do, friends don't let friends go to hell or go through hell. Help us this week to find friends that we work next to, our neighbors, and not just invite them to church, but this next weekend, Pastor David and Nicole are together. They're gonna be talking about marriage, and I really want you guys to be our guest. And God, we're gonna bring people to church. And the only thing our friends are going to be mad at us about is that we didn't offer this solution earlier. And God, we're going to get in groups where our life can be changed and we can use our life to change somebody else's life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I want you to watch this little support where we're taking you backstage to Miss America. You're going to like this.